I like how verse 8 starts. I think I told you this several weeks ago, the word but. It's listed about 2,700 times in the Bible. And sometimes the word but also means and. So it can mean but or and, either one. So as it says in verse 7 again, the last part of it, it says, and you've consumed us because of our iniquities. And it says in verse 7 how he has hid his face from us. And then it comes to verse 8 and it goes, but now. We could say but, or we could say and now. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And we are the work of your hands. Hold your hands out. Just hold them out. Can you imagine that we have become the work of his hands? Now, when I work in my shop at my house, I have different tools for different things. And there's times that something that's a pinching or a crimping tool just doesn't do what the hammer can do. Or what my drills can do, my power drills, and how to hold them. And it says that, Lord, you are a potter to us. And we are the work of your hands. That's pretty amazing. But what I want to draw your attention to is to this verse, or to this part of the verse, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. Say, Father. So I can be taken away by this passage, recognizing that I am like clay. He is like a potter. He has the entire ability to put me together and build me as I desire. And I could be sidetracked by that known or by that thought. But I really love when it says, you, thou art our Father. Not just saying Ryan's Father, but our Father. Isn't that amazing? How many believe we have a Father? No, I won't go into this in too much depth. But I've learned that when you bring up the idea of Father, it means a whole lot of different things to people. It isn't always a good connotation to some of us. Some of us have not always had fathers that we've always been always proud of. Maybe some of us have had fathers that we've had to work through to make relationship work. And maybe some of us have had fathers that's kind of absent on purpose, whatever. But I don't think this Father is that kind of a Father. I think this is an amazing Father. Have you ever seen humanity in a sense where you've seen human fathers that are out of this world? Have you seen those kind of fathers? Okay, let's start over. Have you ever seen incredible fathers? I have too. When I see an incredible father, it's like I pay attention to that. I watch the Ryan Yearouts of the New Testament that can have four sons, and they're all sitting in church with him on a Sunday morning. Ryan, I don't know how you do it. That's incredible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had four sons, and they were in church with me almost every Sunday. But somewhere along the line, I had to remind them, pay attention, or we'll have a board meeting when I get home. That's not fair. My boys were good most of the time. I love this in verse 8 again, but now, Lord, you are our Father. I want to deviate today a little bit from my series. My series, I have been speaking and ministering on the Holy Spirit. And I started pretty well upon the fact that when God brought Pentecost into that generation, the Bible taught us that 50 days from Passover would come Pentecost, and it did. And we've come from Pentecost. We've come into what God has done and how it's brought it to the New Testament. And now we see it and how beautiful it is. I've spoken to you how John Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one will come after me greater than I, and he will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. That was spoken in Matthew. It was spoken in Mark, Luke, John, and Acts.
About 5 to 7 times that passage was spoken, telling us that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many believe Jesus is the baptizer? He is. He is. And I think that's marvelous. I'm a little over 2/3 of the way into the gifts of the Spirit now. And the 12th chapter of the book of Corinthians, I've been ministering to you also on the gifts of the Spirit. I'd like to say this, though, that Jesus hasn't left his blood-bought church, and he hasn't left us as a prey for the enemy. How many know that? He hasn't left us a prey. He just hasn't. In fact, the revelation gifts are his for his church body. How many believe that? The revelation gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. I believe they're for today, and I believe they're for the church. I've also discovered that the gifts of authority and power, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the working of miracles are still for today, and he's not taken them back. The section that I have not gone to yet is the vocal gifts. The vocal gifts that speak, the vocal gifts of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, the diverse, not only kinds of tongues, but the interpretation of those diverse kinds of tongues. That's where I'll probably be next week. But I wanted to step back this morning from that. I felt a real sense from God. This was his mind today. And even though I have been in the gifts of the Spirit, and even though I've been on the baptism of the Spirit, even though I've spoken to us as a church, we must walk as a Spirit-filled body in this hour, I'm wanting to tell you that we need to be careful, though, of the gifts that people say today are not for today. People who try to convince us that most everything I'm talking about, it's pretty well gone by the wayside. I would be afraid of that kind of an idea. Because most of the time, what they'll do is they'll come right on after they tell us it's not for today, and they will warn us of all of the dangers and all of the deception and all of the false spirits, and yet they have no answer on how to deal with them. They have no answer on how to deal with false spirits, how to deal with occultic powers, things that would move against the body of Christ. They have absolutely no idea, but they want to shut you down for believing that what Jesus said, I will be and do, and what Paul said to the Corinthian church, this is what can flow within your body. They want to tell us to believe something far-fetched, that this is not possible in the 21st century. I've already experienced things they say it can't happen, and I've already seen it built upon this word, God's word, not any other word but the words of the Lord, and I have to declare today that the power of God is real in this hour. How many of you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that? And church, I hope that you will take it to the bank. 1 Corinthians 2:14-15, don't turn there. But it says this, it says, spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. That's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. In other words, what he's saying is that spiritual things can only be understood and spiritually discerned. Therefore, I say to myself, if I really believe that, then I have to walk in the Spirit. I have to live in the Spirit. I have to believe the word of the Spirit. I believe also that when we're believing this, we also believe in order. We believe that God is a God of order, and God is systematically, everything lines up with the truth of his word and how it works. But never, never doubt this, that if you believe in spiritual things, then spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. You can't go to Oprah. You can't go to some of the other things on television and expect to learn spirituality there from God. Amen. You may learn some spiritual things, but it won't be anything good for you. You have to know what God is wanting to do. Therefore, it's in his word. Amen. So, somewhere in the middle of the week, I've been just on this vein. I'm just, all right, Lord, I'm going to stay in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stay in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to stay in encouraging your spirit to walk in a spirit-filled sense. We have to just believe that, Jesus, you have put your spirit in us. I've been walking in that to bring to you week after week. In the middle of this week, God spoke to me. And sometimes it isn't like I pick up my smartphone. It isn't like, you know, I just wake up from a nap and I'm going, oh, I think that's a good idea.
Sometimes I come across something or something just comes into my memory bank or my eye gates, and I'm thinking, Lord, is that you saying that to me? And I'm feeling like that God was saying, son, that's what I want to say to you. I want you to bring it to my people this morning. So for these few moments, I'm going to ask that you will follow me. I never had any intention in this series to leave the Father out of the equation. I believe in the triune God. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that my God is a triune God, and yet He is still one God. The mystery is far beyond what my little comprehension can figure. I take by faith and I read the Word, how it says it and what it says, and I say that's what I believe. Our God is a triune God. And I felt like the Lord began to speak to me in the middle of the week, not about the Son who baptizes us in the Spirit, and not about the Spirit who comes and dwells in us and empowers us and administers and manifests Himself in the body. But God began to say, I want to have a Sunday that you talk about me. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about this Father. Not the Father that is the potter over the clay, but I want to talk to you about this Father who is our Father. How many believe we have a Father? He is a great Father. I find myself personally in my prayer life, I don't pray one-dimensional way. I don't do everything I pray. Don't misunderstand me now. This is not being flippant. I don't do it this way all the time where everything is Jesus, 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 amen. That was not designed to be something phony or something a trite against the Lord. I find my prayer life sometimes addressing God for whom He is in the larger sense. I don't often find myself, though, saying, well, the way I would pray to Jesus, like, Lord, thank you. And I praise Thee, O Lord. I thank You today, Jesus. Oh, God, walk with me. Lord Jesus, walk with my wife and I. Be our God today. Strength. I find that's how I talk to the Lord, Jesus. But I don't always talk to the Spirit that way. Sometimes when I talk to the Spirit, it's like, oh, Holy Spirit. Wow. Not to be redundant, but I don't know why, but for the last couple of years maybe, I'm doing things, driving, going wherever, and all of a sudden it's just like a wave just flows over me. And I know what that's all about. It's not about going to a restaurant. I'm not thinking about an ice cream cone. I'm not thinking about anything else, but the presence that has engulfed me, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I know who that presence is. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. I don't know if is King James or not, but I do a lot of King James. As I sense His presence moving right there in me. And when I talk to my Father, I don't talk to my Father like my earthly father was or is. My earthly father biologically is now gone. My stepfather is now gone. And both of these men, I love them. And they both blessed me and encouraged me and were fathers to me. And I've recently, in preparing for this morning, I thought about my earthly father, because I got to tell you that probably for 30-some years, I don't know, just I'm going to say 30, but for 30-some years, I don't think I knew how to be a son. Why? Because my father didn't raise me. My mother did. My parents were divorced. And I don't think I knew how to be a real son. Therefore, when I was around my dad, my father, I found myself sometimes just kind of feeling like, not distant, but it's like we didn't really grow up knowing each other a lot. Do you ever have that experience? And where I'm trying to figure my dad out a little bit, and he's probably trying to figure me out a little bit. Then something happened. I don't know about what year it was, but I'll say it's probably in my early to mid 40s. Something changed. And all of a sudden, I began to recognize that this is my father. And this is a father that I know. And I'm not going to just kind of say, yeah, I like him, and yeah, okay, I like him, I love him. I began to love my father to the point that it was an amazing relationship. We would send things back and forth. My dad loved politics and Judith Prudence. He loved to send me stuff and ideas of the courts, and I'd send him things. We would talk. He got a hold of Donna and I, and he said, I want you kids to do something. I want you to sell, quit doing what you're doing, and move to Glenoma, Washington. How many know where Glenoma, Washington is? And both of you, I doubt if you really, really know. And he says, I want you to move to Glenoma, Washington. I've got a piece of land right behind mine. And he says, we are going to grow cows together. We're going to put in chickens together. We're going to have garden together. And we're going to be father and son. It's going to be incredible. Only to not do it. I didn't say no to my father, but I said no to his will. Because I was pastoring Arizona. And Donna and I, to this day, my dad passed, I don't know, maybe 5 years later, six, I'm not sure of my time periods. But I look back at that now. Look at me, please. And I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes we do not do things and that we possibly could that would have made huge impact in eternity in the kingdom of God. And so I followed my will. My dad was disappointed, but he was big enough to know he can't tell a 40-some-year-old son, get up here. I'm telling you this. When I shift gears in my life and I discovered who my father really is, my heart began to follow my father, and I loved him. My stepfather was the same man, same kind of man. He loved me when I was a kid. He loved me in Little League. He always hit the ball to me at shortstop harder than anybody else. Why? Because he wanted me to be better than anybody else. My stepfather was an amazing man. I had two fathers. Now, where am I going with this? I'm going to tell you this. This morning, you have an amazing father that is on the throne of heaven. And I want you to know that as I start to go through this message, that you will not just think of an earthly father. I want you to think about your heavenly father. Because the way that he gave this to me was this. He said, I want you to tell my people, yes, it is my son that baptizes in the Holy Ghost and fire. Yes, it is the Spirit of God that it possesses and lives in them and endues them with power from on high. But he says, I am Father, and I have a will for every one of them that I am able to empower and strengthen and give them what they need to be able to one day stand before me. And you're going to hear it right now. And I pray that you'll go with me, you'll stay with me, and you'll be able to hear the word that I believe God has given me. Sharon is gone this week. She'll be gone last week, she'll be gone this week. I mean, somebody's got to go out and chase squirrels and, you know what I'm saying, pick blueberries, huckleberries, and Sharon's doing all that. I imagine she's having a ball. How many's praying for Sharon? How many are really offended because she gets 2 weeks off? Don't be offended. She'll get back soon enough. So in my office, I said, Aiden, I need your help. Aiden says to me, always, he says, Pastor, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. And I said, all right. I said, Aiden, I want you to do this for me. And so I give him the pictures, and I said to him, Aiden, this is what I want. And he says, Pastor, yes, sir. So can my sound booth help me out? Now, I'm going to tell you honestly, you're going to, no, that's not the right one. Yeah, no. I think there's another one. Do you have another one before that?
No.
You don't?
That's the only one I got.
That's the only one you have?
This one.
Okay, go back to the other. So anyway, Sharon, I told you that because I got such incredible help in my office. I realized Sharon can stay and chase squirrels all week. So I gave this to Aiden and I said, Aiden, I want you to take this and I want you to get this ready for church. He said, I will. I don't know if you know what you're looking at, but what you're looking at is you're looking at a baseball game, and you're looking at a baseball game that took place literally in, I think it was March 5th, probably 2016. It's a spring game between the Pirates and the Atlanta Braves. And as you're looking at this, you're beginning to recognize that these people are in the stands. How many figured that out? And they're in the stands. There's not very many Pirate fans. I only found one real Pirate fan way up in the top left at about 10 o'clock. And it seems like most everybody else got the big A on their shirt and on their hats. And so they must have been closer. They must have been in a spring stadium for Atlanta. And here's what happens. Think about this. All of a sudden, the people in the stand begin to do these crazy things. I mean, look at this. I love it because down at the railing, look at the people. One, two, three, four people are bowing underneath the railing like, oh, is that not crazy? And then I start looking higher. I see this one guy that's got the Bermuda hat on. He looks like he should be Angela, or I don't know what he looks like. And he doesn't look like he's a baseball fan. He's got a black shirt, but he looks like he's a karate star. Yeah. Yeah. You got that? And then I keep looking. I love the guy that's in the orange. Think about this. I mean, does he look authoritative or not? What really amazes me about that picture is that he also, in his other hand, has a Budweiser. And I think what he's saying is, get back! Get back! Don't touch my Bud. You got that? And then I look at this guy way over at the left at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm seeing him with his hands like this, and he's got shades. He's kind of like, oh. See that guy? I'm looking at all these people. I like the guy in the blue. And man, that guy looks like he's about 250 pounds. And he looks like he could take anybody apart. But what's he doing? He's sitting there going, can you see that? How many's with me? So I said, Aiden, I want you to put this on the screen for me. He said, all right, Pastor, I'll do it. I always do what you tell me. I want you to look at this picture closer, because this is the part that blows my mind. Danny Ortiz is up to bat. Danny Ortiz is an outfielder. And as Danny Ortiz, you know how batters do, and they swing their bat, and they warm up, and they do all kinds of stuff. He's up, and I've seen this happen before. Somehow, a batter will take a swing and he'll cut, and somehow his hands let loose of the bat. Have you ever seen that? And the bat begins to sail. Really, it begins to sail. I mean, it becomes like a heat-seeking missile. And Danny Ortiz, in real life, in this game, was up to bat, and as he swung, it left his hand, and all of a sudden, it began to do this. And it goes over the where they're warming up. It goes over the dugout, where the other team is there watching, and that thing continues to sail just like a whirlybird. And it comes to the stadium, or comes to the stands, and these people see it coming, and they're going, yeah, what are we going to do with this? And all of a sudden, this is what is amazing. You know, I wanted to have something, but I don't have anything. Can you follow my finger? I want you to look at this man right over here in the gray shirt. I want you to watch him. Because as he's watching the game, and all of a sudden he sees this bat leave the batter's hands, and it begins to twirl. This man sitting in the stands, he's not acting like the guy with Budweiser. He's not acting like the guy up here, like, oh, no, 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 no. He's not acting like these people hiding behind the screen. When he sees this bat coming, he instantly recognizes it's coming towards me. No, it's coming towards my son. In real life, I want you to know something. This man is the father to that little boy. Now, you think whatever you want to think. This hit social media in May of 2016. People were stunned when they looked at these pictures. And they saw that the sweet part of the bat, they called it from the tip down like this. This would be like the sweet part of a bat. If you can hit your ball in that first 6, 8, maybe 9-inch radius, it's powerful. It could be out of the stadium. Look where the sweet part of the bat is heading. It's heading right to that little boy's bridge, to his nose and eyes. This had the power to take that little boy out. I am not talking about some little wiffle ball bat. I'm talking about a Major League Baseball player with all his might throws that bat, and it just so happens to leave his hand. Look where it's going. And what I love about this picture is that father, instantly, he doesn't do all of the other calisthenics that the people are doing in the stands. All the things like, oh, ooh, don't hit me. The father instantly throws out his hand. Because basically he is saying, I am father, and this is my son, and I will do everything I can. I mean, this happened within split second. This didn't happen over like 2 minutes, and he's going to go, well, let me see, what can I do? It was kind of like, boom, leave hand, fly, boom, it's here. It's about that fast. And he puts his hand out, and as he does, that bat comes up, is twirling, and notice where the powerful, sweet part of that bat is. It hits him right here. That is shielding his little boy's eyes and nose and mouth from the bat. I want you to go to the next picture for me. Now, this is incredible to me. I don't know what you're thinking of me today, but I'm telling you this. God told me to tell you this. That I am your father, and I am a good, good father. I don't know if I'm preaching or teaching. I'm just telling you what God told me to tell you. And I am a God who has planned for your life. I have planned good things for you if you ask of me. I have planned to give you of my spirit that you can walk in an overcoming sense in this generation. I have planned as a father that no one can remove you from my hand. No one, according to John, the writing of Jesus' words, no one can pluck you from my hand. I am a good, good father. Amen. And when the devil tells you, don't believe what the preachers are saying. I mean, I realize I could be deceiving you like anybody else. I'm not, but that's what I think. But I'm telling you this,
If you ever struggle with deception, and if you struggle with whether what you are hearing is true and what you think is people are saying is true, or even on the radio is true, I'm telling you this. Take it to the Lord. Take it to your Father. Do you think for 1 minute your Father wants you destroyed? I do not for 1 minute. If you have a heart for Him and a heart for the things of God, and you want to genuinely know all that He has for you in this generation, say these words with me. Abba, Father. Do you know what Abba means? Some people say it means my. Some say it means our. My Father, our Father. When you go and you look at writings, it means Father. So when you read the 8th chapter of Romans, and Paul writes that, what you find is that he is saying, Abba, Father, Father. And he's telling us at that point that we are not strays. He's telling us that we have been inducted into the household of faith, that we have been brought in because we are His Father. We're not strays at all. We pull up to His table and we've been grafted in as sons and daughters. And that's why we say, Father, Father, because nobody else has the power to put us into the house and to seat us at the table but the Father. Go back to the picture. I want to show you something about this picture. This picture blew my mind. Because I studied this picture, I did. And I'm going to tell you from the difference between this picture and the one I just showed you. I tried to find flaws. I tried to find maybe where they took maybe photos in a photostatic sense. And they did some things and they jerry-rigged this and they did that. And I couldn't find anything like that. So I kept looking at this picture. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got to find some things that are really different. Surely they've done something different. And you know what's amazing? The guy with the Budweiser, you go to the other picture, and it's just the same way. The guy with the A on it, is only thing that's moved in his entire part of his body is those three fingers just moved about like this, about like that. And I keep watching and look at this, and I'm thinking, what has changed here? Here's what changed, is that when the sweet part of that bat, When the 8 inches of that bat hit the end of that of the Father's hand and his wrist and maybe a little of his forearm, do you know what it did? When it hit, it swung again. And it probably swung faster than it was coming across the diamond. And as it swung, watch what it does. It swings and it goes behind the little boy's head. Is that not incredible? Is that not incredible? Do you think that your God, your Father, has the ability to take care of you? Do you think He has the ability to see that, there's so many different words for it, but like that seeking missile, you think He's got the power to see that and stop it? I believe that He does. Do you believe that? You have to believe it. Because if you don't, how could you ever say Abba? How can you say Father? Father. Listen, I mean this very graciously. I know who Jesus is to me. He is my Savior. If you want to put one word to Jesus, He is Savior. I don't know that I could call Him anything greater for me. He is my Savior. And the Spirit, I don't know if I could say anything greater than maybe He is ever present. He's with me. But Abba, Father, it seems like love goes with fatherhood. My Father, who loves me. I mean, this Father could have said, man, it's coming, what am I going to do? And He could have said, And by that time, it would have hit and plowed into his child's face and would have just, who knows what it would have done to his little boy. I'm telling you this. If you don't hear anything else I said to you today, I want you to know that whatever's coming your way or whatever's coming today or next week or a month or a year from now, you have a Father, Abba, who knows how to put his hand and projectile. He knows how to place his hand at the right time or the right moment, and it will not hit you because you are his child. Amen?
Amen.
I want to read this to you because I think you should know. I think you have a Father this morning whose hand is a hand of protection. Amen, amen, Pastor. I agree with you. Amen. Amen. You know, the picture that you see is a picture of Sean Cunningham. His outstretched arm is shielding this young boy's face, and this boy is his son. And is shielding his face from an errant baseball bat at a March 5th spring training game between Atlanta and Pittsburgh. If a picture really is worth 1,000 words, so stop. Look again at the picture. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, do you think that's worth 1,000 words? It is to me. In fact, I could say, let's go home. I'm done. Why? Because I've already been preached to. I have seen the mighty right hand of my Father and what he can do with it. We think in terms that he wants to crush us, that he wants to pick us up caveman style and throw us. We have this tendency to thinking that God is so mighty and powerful that he's just going to crush us and throw us out. Not only do these mighty arms and hands have the ability to embrace us, but I'm here to tell you, they have the power to protect us. And I want you to know, as a church, believe what the word of the Lord tells us. Don't believe it because I tell you. Go and read the book of Acts and find out in the book of Acts how the Spirit of the Lord began to flow and began to move and to possess the church and empower the disciples, empower the apostles. Begin to read the book of Acts and see how the gospels just literally, it went from Jerusalem and just flowed across Asia Minor. Because why? Because of the power of the Spirit that was in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, we can say, we got a pastor that's just really trying to press us with this issue of the Holy Spirit. No, I'm trying to just graciously, as a pastor, impress you that you can believe that when the Word of God tells it and shows us, you can believe it and take it to the bank. That's what I want you to know. Because the world will tell you that you're crazy and will tell you and I we're foolish and don't believe a word of it. But I'm going to tell you that no matter what comes tomorrow, I'm going to believe and choose to believe the word of God. Amen. And so this mighty right arm, this mighty right hand, that I look at Sean and I say, Sean, you're built pretty good. You must lift weights, huh? He'd probably say to me, yeah, maybe I lift a little bit of weights. I say, what are you doing for, Sean? Well, I just want to be healthy. I just want to make sure, I can do what I got to do in life. And if I said to him, I said, Sean, have you ever thought that maybe your arm and your strength, you could protect your son someday? Sean might say to me, I don't know, Pastor. Tell me, how can I protect my son? Wouldn't it be silly to tell him to go to a baseball game and sit there and wait because you're going to get the answer? I have a conviction this morning is that my Father has all the power that I need to watch over me and protect me, to lead me into this word, to lead me into life to be a man of God, and ladies, a woman of God. When this story began to break, this is what happened.
They said if a picture is worth a thousand, really worth a thousand words, surely none of those words were as rich as the meaning of Landon Cunningham. Now go back to my picture. Landon is a 9-year-old boy who's a Braves fan. And he's sitting by his dad. And in the picture, you'll notice this one, but you'll notice both of them, that he's holding his dad's smartphone. And I didn't realize how much people go to ball games now and they read and watch smartphones. They can get all the statistics and they can hear the announcer. They can get all kinds of stuff on smartphones. When I was growing up, I didn't get any of that. I just had to be smart enough to understand the game. A 9-year-old Braves fan said this, said that the prospects of danger, when they were asking him about it, here's his quote. I want you to hear the quote. This is from Landon. In fact, let me go back. I cut the sentence in half. Landon Cunningham, a 9-year-old Braves fan, said about the prospect of danger, about the prospect of danger from a flung bat and foul balls and baseball outings. They said, what do you do with this, Landon? How do you protect yourself? What do you do with it? And here's what he said as a 9-year-old. Quote, as long as I'm with my dad, I'm okay. As long as I'm with my dad, I'm okay. Landon, how do you protect yourself from bats flying and balls coming down on you? How do you protect yourself from people doing all of this? How does this happen? He says, waits a minute and he thinks, and he goes, oh, well, I think the way that I protect myself, I got it. As long as I'm with my dad, I'm okay. As long as I'm with my dad, I'm okay. I wanted to bring this to you this morning because I wanted you as a church to recognize that as long as we're truly in our Father, we're going to be okay. Come what may. And if we're really, really in our Father, yeah, I suppose we could be deceived and doped if we really wanted to be. But if you're really in your Father, you're going to be okay. Because your Father will always... And when you see that bat not even touch Landon's head, now you understand how powerful in timing your God really is. Is he not a great God? You know, and back to that picture, I tried to study it enough. I tried to think to myself, how did this happen? That bat, 1 minute it's at his bridge, at his nose, his mouth, his eyes. And that quick, it's at his back. And it's now continuing on to fall down and be at people's feet. How did that happen so quick? You know how it happened? It's because your God is an everlasting God. And he is not bound to time, nor is he bound to anything that is our own schedule. He's bound to his power and to his glory. And nothing can stand in the way of what he does in us. Do you believe that? If you don't mind, I know you've heard this before. Not just from me. You've probably heard it on television. You've probably heard it from another pastor, preacher. But I want you to listen. Listen to this. When I read this in preparation for what I'm giving you this morning, I read this and you know what? It just stirred my heart again. As much as children need love from a dad, they also need a dad who's a warrior. So I seem to have a father who is a loving father and a warring father. Isn't that awesome? Do you have that kind of father?
Let's take a vote. How many are here today? You can say yes, yeah. You can grunt, you can go, yeah, anything you want. Just let me know you're here. Amen?
Amen.
Sounds better. We have fathers involved in the battles that we face every day. I was enjoying the Barcelona Olympics. This is from Dennis Rainey. And he says, when I observed a father-son scene that I'll never forget, he says, Derek Redmond of Great Britain had trained for the Olympic 400-meter run for years. And after the Seoul Olympics, he had 5 operations on both Achilles. Yet he bounced back, and now he was running well and competing for the final Olympic semifinals in Barcelona. Halfway around the track, however, Derek's right hamstring gave way, and he fell to the track, sprawled across the 5th lane. The television cameras focused on defending Olympic champion Steve Lewis as he won the race and headed toward the tunnel. Then suddenly, Derek got to his feet, grimacing, and began hobbling the track, around the track, towards a finish line. He was determined to finish the race. At this point, Derek's dad, Jim Redmond, sitting high in the stands in the Olympic Stadium, saw his son collapse. And the 49-year-old machine operator from Northampton, England, ran down the steps onto the track, and all he knew was his son needed help. The crowd realized that Derek Redmond was running the race of his life. And around the stands and around the world, fans stood and began to applaud and began to honor him with cheers. Derek, you can do it! And at the final turn, Jim Redmond caught up to his son and put his arm around him. And when Derek saw that it was his father, and he learned it was his father, he began to lean upon his father's right shoulder, sobbing. An usher attempted to intercede and escort Jim Redmond off the track, but his efforts were futile. They crossed the finish line, father and son, arm in arm. And Dennis Rainey goes on to say, if you and I, as dads, will become involved in the heroic lives of our children, we will be successful as men. I wrote this. But imagine if our Heavenly Father, if He has chosen to be heroically involved in our life as sons and daughters, can you imagine what earthly life will look like if our Father is there with us? Amen?
Amen.
You have your Bibles. I had asked you to go to Gospel of John, didn't I ask you that? And if you would go to Gospel of John, please, as I ask you to. The 17th chapter. I'm going to ask another play button here. I need you to go to the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 16 as well. So I want to read the words of Jesus in chapter 14 first. Chapter 14, verse 6. Are you where I'm at? Maybe I am. Jesus said unto him, this is Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let me read that again. Jesus said unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Think about this just for a minute.
I think as Christians, we love to quote the words of Jesus in John 14, 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We love to say, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And we quote it. We're so good at that passage right there. Please listen. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. Yet here's what I believe. Is what happens is that most of us, we are only understanding the first part of that. We don't take the full implication of what Jesus is saying. Yet I believe that many of us have apprehended the first half of that verse where Jesus says, I am the way. And we're not following Jesus to the very end of the destination. Look what it says at the end of verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is saying, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. But your destination is your Father. Say, Father.
Father.
Your destination is your Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you believe that I'm the way, if you believe that I am the truth, if you believe that I'm the life, then you are going to be able to finish the destination and go the rest of the way to my Father. It's my Father that I'm pointing you to. It's my Father I'm leading you to. It's my Father that you must come to. You must understand that if you believe that I'm the way, truth, and life, then just get behind and follow me. And I might take you through Bethany. I might take you to Jericho. I may bring you back up to Jerusalem. But I'm really taking you to my Father. Amen. And your Father. I wanted to encourage the church this morning. This is what's happening to us. Is that God is trying to challenge us to come to the Father. Because there's only good things in the Father. Do you believe that? I believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. Do you realize, I need you now to go to the passage I first gave you in John chapter 17. You will know and recognize this as a great intercessory prayer of Jesus. Some call it not just the intercessory prayer. Some say it was a priestly prayer of Jesus as the high priest of the kingdom. I want to tell you, I'm not going to read it all to you. I wish I could this morning. You should read it sometime within the next 24 hours, the 17th chapter of John. Jesus, in this chapter, he is praying now to the Father. But here's what's amazing. Up to this point, say this point. Up to this point, Jewish people only recognize God as Jehovah. They only recognize him as not just Jehovah, but they recognize him also as Yahweh. And Jesus is saying in chapter 17, he said, I'm going to introduce you to another name. I want you to know Jehovah and Yahweh as another name. You're going to discover this name, and you'll discover it as I start to pray. And so you go into the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, and you find, beginning in verse 1, these words spake Jesus. That's exactly what he did. He was praying, and he began to pray. And the Bible tells us that six times in the 17th chapter, he prays not to Yahweh by name, not to Jehovah by name. And yes, he was praying to Jehovah and Yahweh. But now what's happened is Jesus is beginning to change the name. Why? Because he is preparing himself to leave this world. And he's preparing himself that the Holy Spirit will come. And that the Holy Spirit will embrace his body. And they will begin to intercede through Christ. But they will intercede all the way to the Father. And what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to tell every one of us, I am now going to pray to who you need to know. You need to know the Father. You need to know your Father. And that's what happened. Six times Jesus prayed to the Father individually here. If you don't, I mean, if you want to look at it, it's found in verse 1. And said, Father, the hour has come. Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify thou me. Verse 11, in the middle, it says, Holy Father, keep thou thy name and the name of those you've given me. You can go on to verse 21. It says, that they may be one as thou art, Father, and you and me. Verse 24, he says, Father, I will that they also whom you've given me will be with me that where I am. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has known you, not known you, but I've known you. And so Jesus is beginning to teach his church, there's another part of the Godhead you must know. There's another part of God that you must trust. And that you need to know that this part of the Godhead sits on the throne of all power and authority. And the projectiles, the missiles, the darts, the things that will come against you when I leave this world, I want you to know that through his mighty right arm, he will protect you and keep you, and you need to trust that your Father can watch over you. Sometimes I look out and I can't judge you this morning. Are you really with me? Are you okay? Are you wishing you had popcorn for the baseball game? Don't have it. But what I have for you is better than popcorn, even if it had butter on it. I'm telling you, oh Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in the church as well as in my own personal life. Amen? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For it is thine is the kingdom, is the power, and the glory. Whose kingdom? Father, it is yours. And Father, I trust you. And I believe in you. Praise God. Isn't God good? I say this because I just want to bring this to conclusion. But I could not help myself because I felt like we needed to remember this. We needed to remember that in John 10:29, it says, My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck out of my Father's hand, Jesus said. Do you realize the security that's in your Father's hand? Then I started looking at Romans 8. For you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received what? The spirit of adoption. Say, spirit of adoption. Are you afraid of that spirit? Are you afraid of that spirit of adoption? Why would you be? You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, Paul said, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, 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 Abba. Amen? Consider John 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I, Jesus, will send to you, I will send the Comforter from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Stop there. Do you realize who the Spirit is? He is sent from the Father because Jesus has requested the promise, and he comes as this title, Spirit of truth. Is there ever been a day we need more truth? Everything I'm saying to you, put it in context with this Father's arm over the face of his Son. And God is saying, I am going to send you the Spirit of truth. I will give you the spirit of adoption. I will be the one, and no one can pluck you, nor a bat clobber you, because I am your God. Think about this. I love this in Luke 24. As the Spirit, it says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Think about it. Jesus said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. So the last 2 weeks when I was talking to you about gifts of the Spirit, I went through six of them through the 12th chapter of the book of Corinthians. Next week, I'll finish the last three, which will be prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And Paul is dealing with this as with great order in the church. What am I telling you? I'm saying, do you believe any of this? Well, you should, because the Bible says, Jesus said this, literally, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high." Do you realize that what we glean in this word, like we are even now, we're receiving as a promise of the Father? Has anybody given you a promise lately? Has anyone given you a promise that you can take it to the bank? It's real. Have they? Before my wife and I were married, Heather, just go ahead and plug your ears. You don't have to hear this story. Poor Heather. She hears all of our stories, and then she hears me preach them too. Before my wife and I were married, I found this lady was coming to the church. I was pastoring. She's pretty. I thought she was pretty. And she was coming. And I thought, well, her name is Donna. Oh, hi, Donna. Some family members in my house, and of course, at that time, I was single. And family members in my house made this plan. And they said, "We're going to have dinner at the parsonage." Great, I'm really up for dinner. And what they didn't tell me was they were inviting Donna, too. And they invited Donna to my house. And do you know what she did? She brought a green lime Jell-O cake. Green lime Jell-O cake. Green lime Jell-O flowing in and through all of that cake with a deep, deep, rich frosting all across the top. I've accused her. We've been married now 23 and a half years. I've accused her of bringing that to my house to entice me to consider wanting to marry her. But what's really amazing is that over the last, what? Honey, what'd you say? 6, 8, 10? No, more than that, maybe 10, 12 years. I bring that up to her as an accusation, as a thought all the time. And I bring it up to her and I say to her, "Honey, do you remember what you did when you came to my house with all these family members and people, and you were part of the dinner that day, and I discovered you were there, yes, but I also discovered green lime Jell-O cake. Who made this? Donna made this?" I have asked her, and I've 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 asked her, and she will not make me a green lime Jell-O cake. I wish you'd pray for me. She will not bring it and cook it and make it, whatever you do with cakes, however you do it. 3 weeks ago, maybe four, I come in the house, and I could tell something was starting to happen. Something was really different. Something's going on. And all of a sudden, it's like, voila, green lime Jell-O cake. She made it. Would you give Donna a hand, please? Think about it. Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So go and tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." And that's exactly what happened. 10 days later, the promise of the Spirit came, fell upon the 120 at that moment. 3,000 were converted through the preaching of Peter, and God began to launch the church powerfully. My point is that God kept His word. The Father kept His word. Say that. Father kept His word. He sent the Spirit. Well, Donna kept her word finally, because she kept telling me she'll do that one day. And she did. Don't you love people who keep promises? I'm just telling you, God keeps promises. Amen. And when He has told you that He will empower you with His Spirit, that's what He'll do. Amen. When He told you He'll fill you with His Spirit, that's what He'll do. When He told you that you will receive exactly the way that you're in church, that's exactly what will happen. He's not a God that He will mimic or take you and cause a lie. He's real before you. Praise God. Praise God. And I close with Luke 11. In fact, turn to Luke 11. Say, Pastor, I'll turn if you promise. I do, I promise. I keep my promises. How many know that? Nobody agreed? Luke 11. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask. It shall be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you that is a father, will he, a father, give him a stone? Or if he, a son, asks a fish, will he, who's the father, give a serpent? 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Think about that. If a son would ask all three of these things, bread, fish, egg, would an earthly father really give these kind of things back? Never. But listen to the words of your father. These are the words of your heavenly Father through the Son. Verse 13. If you then, being evil, I say earthly, know how to give good gifts. Say good gifts. Good gifts. Let's stop there. Good gifts out of Corinthians. Good gifts out of the book of Acts. Good gifts out of the epistles. The good gifts out of smaller versions of Old Testament writings, like the short books of like Amos and Joel. He says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? I rest my case. I declare to you that if I am going through life and I have need, or if I have a battle, or whatever is beginning to come against me, I rest my case here that when I cry out to my Father, when I don't even have enough time to say Father, I believe that His mighty arm will be outstretched. And I believe that He will be there for you and for me and for us. And He will be mighty in battle, for He is commander of the Lord's host. He is not just a captain over a few guard. He is commander over the Lord's host. And when He speaks, all of the cosmos stands at attention because He is God. And I'm just telling you, I still don't know how that bat got around that little boy's head that quick. And you say, oh, probably got it. You know what? You can look at all of the things in this picture, and nothing hardly moved from the moment that it was here to the moment it was here. That's the only thing practically that moved. Did God take and just dissolve it, put it through, reappear? I don't know. But what I do know, it doesn't matter. Because my God is a great God who protects and keeps us. Amen?
Amen.
So when I ask, what happens? I receive. When I seek, I find. And when I knock, it comes back to me. And so just in this case, Jesus is saying, how about if we try the Holy Spirit with this? Why don't you ask? Why don't you seek? Why don't you knock? And watch what I'll do. Because I am your God. Would you close your Bibles? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. True to fact, we want God to do something before we ever have to say thank you. I'd like for you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do it in reverse. I want you to thank Him for who and all that He is as Father before you ask anything. Will you do it? And if you're willing to do so, would you stand and lift up holy hands before your God? Don't ask anything, but give Him honor and praise. Sing it with me again. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Everyone again. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Only I can say this because I sense and see this in my mind's eye. But I see the arm and the mighty right hand of the Lord this day coming into the aisles and saying, I am here. I am here. And I am the one that has the power to stop that, to protect, to minister, to keep and bless. If you need the Lord to touch you, if you need the Lord to empower and to be God when you don't think there's any other way, He is God with His mighty right hand right now. I want you to stand in middle aisle or either left or right aisles and just stand there as we sing this again and lift up holy hands before God. You're not singing to men. You're not worried about what they think of you. You are saying, God, pastor's right. This is what I need and this is what I want. I have to have your mighty right hand because I sense, I see, and I see the bad on its way. Oh God, be my God. If you need your God today in any way, you stand in these aisles. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, don't be afraid. Stand right in the aisles before God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Do you need a miracle? Do you need one of the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation? Do you need the sovereignty of your God who knows it all to be with you today in assurance? Stand in an aisle. Let's sing it one more time. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Look around you. Do you see some of your brothers and sisters in the aisle? Would you reach out and just lay a hand gently on a shoulder? Would you agree with them this day? They maybe didn't even realize that they came to this ball game today with their Father being here to touch their life. But agree with them that God will so touch them. Reach out. Reach out and touch them. Would you do so? I'd like to give one more invitation. If you need Jesus this morning and you need Jesus as the Savior, oh, I'm speaking of the second person of the Godhead, the one who died on the cross, who shed His blood, who literally died and rose the third day, that you could be saved. If you need Jesus as Savior, I'm asking a little bit more of you. Would you just step out and come and stand right here in the front? And we're just going to gather some of us around and be praying for different ones of you that you can just give your heart to Christ. Would you come? Would you like Jesus to be Savior? Come. Pray with you, believing God to save you. Come right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come. Don't be afraid. Today is your day. Don't hold back. Let today be the day that Christ is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I praise you. Glory to God. Anyone?